are listening to the sermon podcast of Covenant Presbyterian Church. We are a community in Madison, Wisconsin, who gathers to worship, to learn, to serve, and to grow together in God's love. Please visit us online at www.covenantmadison.org, where you can find information about Covenant Ministries, as well as links to our online worship services and sermon podcasts.
Ephesians. It's a small book, right after Galatians and right before Philippians. It's 6 chapters long and has 2,442 words in the original Greek. And for the next 5 weeks, we will have a chance to dig deep on those words. We'll hear from guest preachers and non-guest preachers, like me, as we take a look in detail at some of the wonderful words from the author of Ephesians. We'll also hear some of the less wonderful words, but you'll have to come back next week for that. And so this is the first Sunday of the series. So I thought it might be appropriate to start at the very beginning, which I've heard is a very good place to start. Listen now to Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 through 8.
Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love. He destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will. To the praise of his glorious grace that he freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace that he lavished on us.
This passage is rich in its theology. It's also dense, very dense, but if I had to distill it down to 3 words, it would just be this: God loves you. Or if I had 5 words, God loves you like crazy. And I guess for good measure, it's also sprinkled with, we also love God. Now, there are some things in here that I want to highlight. If you listen to verse 4 again, the author says, just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love. And then in the beginning of verse 5, he destined us for adoption as his children. Wow. God loves us so much that God loved us before we were ever even us. In fact, before anything ever even was. It speaks to God's unconditional love for us, to the fact that God's love is inescapable, even when we feel like we don't deserve it. Now, I know that it's wholly in the character of God to love me before God ever knew me, but really it's amazing to remember how all-encompassing God's love truly is. God's love for us is also reflected later on in the passage when Paul emphasizes the glorious grace that he has freely bestowed on us. And what is that grace if not God's love infusing our hearts and creating in us a completeness that comes through feeling that love? And I love the word freely in there because it's not about our orientation to God that matters for this gift of God's grace. It's God's orientation towards us. Paul directs this letter to the saints who are in Ephesus. When Paul talks about saints, he isn't referring to those who are holy and blameless, those people who act and do wonderfully. It isn't referring to what we've come to think of as saints, like St. Oscar Romero or St. Augustine or even jolly old St. Nicholas. No, Paul is telling the recipients of the letter that they are saints because of who loves them, not because of what they did that's worthy of canonization. The impacts of God's grace on our lives, freely given, cannot be understated. God's grace fills us and then continues and continues until we overflow. It overflows from within us and flows out into others. Look at how the letter starts. Paul starts by saying, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this was sort of a customary greeting in these letters from the early church, kind of like to whom it may concern. So let's look at some of the other letters in the Bible. Romans chapter 1, verse 7, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. You sense a pattern here? Galatians 1 through 3, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians, grace and peace. Kind of shortens it there. And then 1 Timothy adds another word, grace, mercy, and peace to you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. There are more examples, but I'm sure by now you get the picture. So every time Paul greeted the church, and anytime anyone wrote these letters, it started with a prayer for grace to be with them, with those saints in the church. Isn't that incredible? But is this to remind us of God's grace for us? Or is it Paul greeting people with grace? Well, why not both? Yusufu Turaki, in his commentary on this text, says, when Paul prays for grace for the believers, he's praying both that God's grace will work in their lives, transforming them, and that this grace will then be apparent in their actions as they themselves show grace to others and gratitude to God. God's grace fills us and overflows. The grace that we show each other is the abundant grace of God that spills over from our own selves into each other. And out of this abundant grace, we get the greeting, grace and peace to you. Now, could you imagine what our world would look like if we made that our customary greeting? If that was how we encountered people, each other on the street? Can you imagine if our first orientation towards each other was just to start with grace? Every person we meet would be treated like a child of God, shown love not because they've earned it, but because they are human. What would that look like? You know, I really think there was a vision of this not long ago. Do you remember the way we treated teachers who had to pivot to online learning? Do you remember how we lavished love on healthcare professionals? Do you remember the way we lionized delivery drivers, food service workers, grocery store employees, mass transit workers in, April, May, June of 2020? We tipped them extravagantly. We gave them hazard pay, put up signs in our windows, cheered for them, sang songs to them. For all of these people who are putting themselves in harm's way for our safety and convenience. When we saw them, we greeted them with grace and peace. We would show our appreciation for them in grand ways because we knew that grace was necessary for them in that moment. Now, I don't mean to romanticize the pandemic, and certainly not to applaud the systems that forced these people to put themselves in harm's way. It was an awful situation for them, and no matter how much grace they encountered, we still need to do better to reform systems to provide for those people. But as individuals, as people, we could treat them with grace. But somewhere along the way, we started slipping. June became July, July became August, September, October. We stopped treating them with grace. We called teachers selfish because they didn't want to go back to school in person before it was safe for them. We refused to take even the most basic necessary precautions to keep ourselves healthy, gracelessly overwhelming and traumatizing healthcare workers. We've gotten into physical fights with grocery store employees because we don't want to do something like wear a mask. We've screamed at our waiter because the bacon was just not crispy enough. Take it back. Where did our grace go? Why did we stop greeting each other with grace and peace? I can tell you it's not because God's grace was not sufficient for us to show that grace to each other. No, it's that we got tired. We got tired of a pandemic that made life hard. And instead of that spurring us to try harder to give mutual understanding, we just gave up. We tapped into our graceless humanity instead of the surplus of grace that God's given to us. That's not the world God calls for us. Grace and peace. Peace which flows from grace, an understanding of each other's humanities, which recognize that we should love each other without precondition, that our first interaction should be one of compassion, grace, love. So then, this is the call for our lives. How can we make every encounter with others grace and peace? What can we do to remember to see our neighbor as God sees our neighbor? How can we tap into our reserves to extend that grace to others, strangers and friends alike? I think we need to do some training. Give ourselves some sort of Pavlovian grace response. And so when you greet someone, when you see someone, when you wave to someone, when you smile at someone, I want you to actively think grace and peace to you. You don't have to say it. You don't have to greet somebody in the grocery store, grace and peace be with you. That may get you some looks. But try thinking it. Try it as a way to remind ourselves to extend that grace. And if we can make this our mantra, if we can make this instinctive, then we could start to transform ourselves. It stops becoming words and it starts becoming being. We can train our minds and hearts to give grace to our neighbors no matter what, no matter when, no matter who. And that grace brings peace. And that peace brings more grace, which brings more peace, which will transform the world. Friends, grace and peace be with you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. May God's grace be with you, and may that grace suffuse your every interaction. Amen.